Welcome to the Real Estate Reality Show. This segment is brought to you by Arrow Moving and Storage. Whether you're moving across the street or across the country, call Arrow Moving and Storage, 719-325-6341. Now, your host and back-to-back Best of the Springs realtor, Justin Hermes.
Hey, folks, welcome to another show, Real Estate Reality. Sunday is upon us, huh? Beautiful, beautiful. Soaking up the last bit of that weekend. Thanks for joining me. Another show. You're listening to Justin Hermes, Real Estate Realities. Been doing real estate in this town for quite a while. My father's been doing it for 30 years. We do property management. That's what makes us different, is the fact that, you know what? We're teaching long-term real estate holds, 15, 20-year holds, long-term wealth building, creating that passive income, folks, that can give you financial freedom. It's a different approach. Then you'll hear from a lot of other realtors. So you need to call me at 232-1063. That's 232-1063. I want to look at your real estate portfolio. And maybe the best answer is not to sell. Maybe it's to hold to rent. Maybe it's to buy a fourplex and owner-occupy. Those are all the great conversations we have here in Real Estate Realities. But stick around. Very exciting show. We're talking about transforming the Citadel. We got Nolan Johnson joining us as we slide into the second segment. Stick around. Listen to the great show sponsors on the break.
We're back to the Real Estate Reality Show with Justin Hermes. This segment is brought to you by House Check, servicing the Front Range of Colorado Springs for over 25 years with the most complete and personalized home inspection. Call them now for more information at 719-266-1645.
All right, here we go, folks. We're back in second segment. Nolan, you're a real estate expert. Can you just tell the radio listeners, I want them to know what you do exactly, how you got in the business, native here to Colorado Springs. Tell them about your baseball all-star days. I want them to know everything.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Justin. You know, I went to the same high school as Justin, so we go way back. And born and raised in Colorado Springs here, so pretty passionate about the Springs. But I started in local brokerage here in the Springs, worked for a group called NAI Highland. And now I do single-tenant net lease investments across the country, so it's a more national business. But
well, what does that mean? What's a single-tenant net lease?
Yeah. So it's more. A freestanding building with a singular tenant in the property, typically on a long-term lease. So some examples would be 7-Elevens, Chick-fil-A's, Walmart's, McDonald's, pretty name brand type of tenants. So I sell those across the country, Colorado included,
from industrial to retail.
No travel. Just do it, pretty much from home. So it's pretty nice. I enjoy the gig.
That's great. So yeah. You're dealing with some of these big time power player, big corporations, huh?
There's some power players. Yeah.
That's crazy. And these are guaranteed leases or what?
It depends on the deal. Some are guaranteed, some aren't, it kind of varies.
Yeah. But so. What you would say is that it's more, A quality, the chance of default is very low and you might get a lower cap rate because of that trade-off, correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the kind of lure of these assets is, typically people will 1031 exchange into these assets. Maybe they were, in a multifamily or residential investment before. They want a safe place to park their money. So they'll, buy one of these and, it's safe.
Let it sit for what's the lease terms on these? 10, 15 years?
10, 15 years is typical. Yeah. Sometimes longer, sometimes shorter.
And what do you think? I mean, for the average investor, they probably got to climb their way there through a 1031 exchange. But if you were investing, what would you be in? In this market, if you had all the money in the world, is this just something you say, hey, this is a winning formula here?
Yeah. Are you saying just single tenant net leases and assets in general?
Yeah. I mean, like the goal, would you be like, no, it's too conservative for me because the cap rates are too low. I'd be doing something else. Or you're like, this is what I would be doing, investing my own money.
Yeah, I absolutely would. And, there's a couple components to that, right? I mean, you get stronger tenants actually, throughout the pandemic, so we've really kind of tested what tenants are strong, which ones aren't in kind of an event like this, like in a more recessionary environment. So, essential retailers have done super well. So, fast food groups with a drive-through, gas stations, yeah. convenience stores, pharmacies have done super well, grocery stores, obviously. So, you know, you kind of have to have a strategy for these, right? Like, you don't want to say, oh, I'm buying a single tenant net lease with a no-name tenant, and, you know, who knows what they're going to do, probably a high default risk. But I think, you know, it's a very safe play, depending on the deal.
Yeah, because you got corporate backing.
You got corporate backing.
What
is
the average cap rate you're seeing?
It's tough. I mean, average cap rate's probably low sixes across all the tenants, but they vary so much.
That's nationwide.
That's nationwide, yeah, but it varies so much by tenant, right? So Chick-fil-A's might trade like in the fours, in the four caps, while, you know, a lesser tenant, like a CVS, for example, trades six to seven pretty typically. So it really depends on the tenant, but, you know, it's a great play.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of like the stock market in a little bit of the way, huh? It's like you're just looking at their books and what are their chances of succeeding and what's the default rate. And
that's exactly right. So credit's a big play in this, right? So you look at the S&P credit rating if they're publicly traded, or if they're a private company, you kind of underwrite, you know, their financials and see what the likelihood they're going to succeed is. So it's
it's crazy stuff because we've been doing this show for 3 years and we've never really dived in deep on, you know, what these commercial terms are and what they mean. And it is a whole nother level, whole nother ball game. And what I would say to the radio listener is, you know, I know a little bit about this stuff, but not like Nolan knows about it. So go ahead and call Nolan if you're listening right now and you want to maybe dive into commercial and you say, yeah, I actually have a couple rental properties. Maybe I would like to do a 1031 exchange and have a triple net where I don't have to, you know, worry about as much and the tenant's taking care of more of those maintenance items. His number is 661-2992. That's a 719, and it's 661-2992. So anyway, that just gives you a little brief background about Nolan and what he does, which is great. Would you have an office out of here, Nolan? Or are you just officing out of the home right now?
I'm officing out of home right now. I was kind of doing that before COVID, which is pretty nice. But yeah. I do have an office in Denver that I rarely go to. So, I'm a work-from-home type of guy.
There you go. That's great. So, when being in the business, this is why we brought you on.
Yep.
We're going to get to it, folks. We went down a little bit of a rabbit trail, okay? We're getting to it. What would you see best fit for this Citadel Mall? It's for sale, 3.9. We can talk about the whole mall. Let's talk about the one wing right now. That condo is for sale, $3.5 million, comes with 4 to 5 acres. What would you see as some good ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of room to get creative, right? The one you're talking about is somewhere around 100,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. So I've seen, you know, so Simon Property Group is, I think, the biggest mall owner in the country. And what they've done is partnered with Amazon to have kind of a last mile logistics space. So that's, you know, one avenue to go down is creating last mile logistics or kind of, you know, logistics centers. You've seen kind of mixed use development, like some retail, some food halls. Some entertainment concepts. You know, there's been like apartments.
That's what they're doing up at the Chapel Hills one.
Yeah, yeah.
They're putting some apartments in, and I just think it could be, especially as a young person, look at it and go, a cool little work, play, live environment, right? Where if you move to town, you don't know a lot of people. It's like, cool, I live in this apartment complex or affordable housing area, and I got restaurants right by me, I got stores right by me, and I get to know people so much easier because we're kind of living in community together, in a tight community. And I think for some people, that could be something really great, especially with COVID. I mean, I know this sounds funny, but I think a lot of people are lonely.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And I think, you know, also, you know, affordable homes in the Springs is becoming an issue. You know more about this than I do, but you know, the cost of living has gone up dramatically. I mean, you can attest to that. So I think affordable housing and have this, you know, work, live, play community where people can, you know, have fun, live there, work there, and the whole concept, and, you know, really create kind of a community type center that is attractive for, you know, younger folks and, you know, appeals to that type of crowd. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely what probably should be done there. And even, you know, some public-private partnerships, something like that, to where it's like, okay, here's a job center in this, you know, to get the workforce more educated in that, you know, vicinity. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done, but I think you're hitting the nail on the head there.
Yeah, I just think, too, I mean, when you really look at it, you get a lot better quality tenants. It's 20% vacancy right now, which isn't that bad, honestly. I went through there, and I'm like, it's not that bad, but where the vacancy is down by that wing. Obviously, there's no anchor store.
Right.
They don't want to be down there if there's no anchor store. Mm-hmm. So you don't get great quality tenants. I think overall you may have the tenant quality vastly improve too, just because of the fact of, you know, hey, there's more of a consumer base here if you had affordable housing, because they're saying we have a captive audience. I mean, to me, that's just what huge. You got people living right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, tenants want to be where people are, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing is foot traffic.
You do studies on it. I mean, that's what's 100%. Different, folks. When you hear me talk about residential and some multifamily, but you look at one of Nolan's flyers, it's like, you know, complete different language. It talks about how many, you know, impressions they're getting, how many people are driving by, and all the demographic studies of the area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you dive deep into that stuff.
Yeah, every property I sell, we do a demographic study around that area, or at least look up the, you know, information. And it's, you know, vehicles per day driving by that location. It's, you know, demographics of the people within a 2, 5, 10 mile radius. So, yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, like I said before, tenants want to be where people are.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's another big thing too, folks. If you're just tuning in right now and you're wondering, who are these two Joe Schmoes on the radio? How'd they get on? It's Nolan Johnson. Nolan, do you have a middle name?
I do. It's Marcus.
Nolan Marcus Johnson.
I don't tell many people that, so this is an exclusive.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky. Not many people listen to my shows. There's one or two people listening right now.
Yeah.
So, guys, do not spread that around, okay? you know, all jokes aside, Justin Hermes, Real Estate Realities on KRDO News Radio right now. We're talking real estate. We're talking the Citadel Mall with Nolan Johnson. And if you have any thoughts, you can feel free to call in to Nolan's number. Nolan, what's your number?
It's 719-661-2992.
There you go. And mine's 232-1063. We want to talk with you, the radio listeners. We want to help you accomplish your real estate goals. And today's a great educational process, just learning kind of what the commercial side is and some thoughts around what can be done with the Citadel Mall. But Nolan, I guess a big thing really is, you know, this has been vacant so long. You know, is there anything marketing wise you think could be done better? You know,
marketing. Well, I mean, it's interesting why malls are dying, right? The advent of online shopping has really, you know, disrupted them. So marketing wise, I think just the dynamic has shifted. I don't think it's a marketing thing. I think it's the dynamic has shifted in the economy.
So you've got to find ways to be creative.
So you got
to
be creative, yeah. And what you're talking about, putting affordable housing for either seniors or more millennial demographics, I mean, it's pretty much up for grabs for whatever creativity, you know, you can think of that makes sense financially. So
yeah, and you brought up a good point with Amazon, because Amazon went in the Sam's Club on, excuse me, on Academy that was vacant for so long.
Yeah,
Things having it forever, and now they're going to use it as a distribution center.
That's exactly right. And I think Amazon's, you know, just growing, and there's a lot more groups that are doing things like that. So even Walmart's, you know, doing a lot more online transactions, more e-commerce focused. So I think we're going to see that trend continue for, you know, years to come.
Yeah. And I think too, you can easily convert these really.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the malls, I mean, you basically just scrape everything in there, and that's all they want. It's just a big.
Yeah. I mean,
area.
That's the easiest thing to do, right? Is make it like a logistics hub, because all you do is scrape it and then boom, you're rocking and rolling. So I mean, that's the easiest, most cost effective thing. But some of the other things might be more value add to the community, like you're talking about, the more, you know, affordable housing, retail, whatever it may be.
To 4 to 5 acres outside.
Yeah, that's
this
great.
Could be some pad sites, right? Is that, am I using the correct lingo there?
Pad sites, you nailed it. Yeah, that's great.
There we go. Bam, I got it.
Sign them up.
I'm a commercial broker. But no, 4 to 5 acres. I mean, just think about what could go on outside the mall.
That's a lot. I mean, you can do a lot with 4 to 5 acres in a highly, you know, dense area. I think,
Yeah. I mean, you look at the map, folks, and this is just all we want to see. You look at the map, Colorado Springs, look in the middle. It's not downtown Colorado Springs. It's really right around the Citadel. And you have all this growth off of Powers, and this plat that runs through is such a main vein to the downtown Colorado Springs. And we need to really revitalize this area so we can make sure that, you know, it's all connected, right? And we're not having people just cruise past the Citadel to get to downtown. It can be a focal point of the community and can be very easily revitalized. It's not having the city do things as much. It's just bringing the attention to it and getting a bunch of people collaborating around it and getting investors, you know, willing to invest. And then, you know, the city more so just saying, hey, we're going to, you know, allow for easy zoning changes and remove some red tape so you can, you know, convert these areas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you build it, they will come is kind of the concept here. So totally agree.
Yep, that's it. That's it, folks. So, hey, make sure you stick around. We're sliding into a third segment. We're going to keep Nolan on for the last bit here, talk a little bit more commercial lingo, and you, the radio listener, just to learn today. It's an unbelievable learning opportunity because it's out of the box from what we normally talk about. It's that commercial real estate. You got to know it, and maybe, depending where you're financially at and your goals, this could be a great fit for you to slide over into some different investment opportunities. You're listening to Justin Hermes, Real Estate Realities. Listen to the show sponsors during the break. They make the show possible. We'll be back on the third segment here.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Reality Show. Now here's Justin Hermes.
All right, folks, welcome back to a third segment here of Real Estate Realities. We got Nolan Johnson joining us. Nolan, just give a little brief background for the listeners just tuning in, who you work for and exactly what you do.
Yeah, so I work for a company called Brokers and Engineers. So it's a single tenant net lease brokerage out of New York. And I just sell single tenant net lease assets across the country. So I'm not just focused in one singular state. Obviously, I'm based in Colorado, so I know the market pretty well here. But I'm a national broker that sells these assets.
And what do you think of, you've grown up here as a kid, and now you have a great outlook on nationally what's going on, the commercial market, you got a great pulse on that, and sometimes we get too narrow-minded in here, even I do, looking at just Colorado Springs, and I want to get your take on what you think the health of the real estate market, and what your outlooks are for the next 2 to 3 years you think Colorado Springs, commercial-wise, and then even residential-wise, where you see this going.
Yeah, sure, obviously, you know, the pandemic is kind of change the environment of commercial real estate. You know, it's improved some and has hurt others. So hospitality properties, so hotels, motels, they got crushed for a while there. A lot of them, you know, had to sell in a distressed way. You know, some retail groups like dine-in restaurants, obviously that's been all over the news that they've been struggling. So, but you have asset like, you know, essential retailers have been doing phenomenally well. Like, you know, I'm selling a few Domino's in Massachusetts. And, you know, their stock is, you know, skyrocketed since the pandemic. Their sales have improved because more people are, you know, at home ordering pizzas.
Now, do you think that will continue or do you think people are going to go the whole different direction and go, man, I really want to go out to eat now because I've been cooped up ordering Grubhub and stuff like that? What do you think?
I mean, it's hard to say for sure, right? But I do think that more and more people, I mean, just me personally, I love to get out and, you know, do things. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in that boat. So I think, you know, more people will go to sit down restaurants, entertainment venues and things because they're itching to do so.
I think this more might be just a fad.
It could be a fad. Yeah. I do think, you know, a lot of retailers are kind of changing their concepts though, based on this. So you're seeing a lot more drive-throughs in, you know, QSRs. So quick serve restaurants like, you know, McDonald's, Burger King's with a drive-through. So, you know, a lot of groups are changing their format, going smaller format, less, you know, dining area and just doing more drive-through business. So maybe they're doing double drive-throughs now where they weren't before. And it's just, you know, I think it's a convenience thing that people have gotten used to now, right? Like drive-thrus are, they just add value to the asset.
Yeah, we do get, we're convenient-minded consumers now. It's unbelievable.
Like yeah.
Before what we would, you know, go in and take out as a kid and you'd wait 20 minutes for your takeout and you're like, all right, this is normal. And now it's like, oh man, I've waited 2 minutes for this. I thought,
I'm just
going to order Grubhub so some stranger can bring it directly to my house because I can't leave my house.
You know, yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. We're getting a little bit entitled here.
We are. And so I think it's interesting to hear your perspective because I think the pendulum is going to swing. I think it's more of a fad and people are going to go completely the other way. And they're like, I need to get out and interact with other humans. Mm-hmm. But I also think that you got to hedge your bets. So you talked about these retailers and different restaurants going, well, we want to make sure that we're able to adapt and have 2 drive-thrus and being able to handle the demand and not be forgotten too. So I think that also is very important. What do you think as far as any multifamily housing in Colorado Springs, Colorado as a whole, just the health of the market, even commercial here? What's your outlook?
Well, I'm going to back up to what we were talking about before for a quick second. So I think the drive-through concept, like with these assets, is becoming more attractive. Because in case of another scenario like this pandemic, in case that happens again, well, you have this property that can accommodate to that situation. So if something else happens, you know, you're kind of covered on that. But to address your question, so multifamily in the Springs especially is phenomenal. I mean, we're supposed to get, I want to say 4,500 units downtown, something like that, which is wild. And really, we need it because, you know, the housing sector here, short supply, you can speak to this better than I can, but super short supply, and more millennials are renting now, right?
Yeah, so the only thing I would wonder is pandemic thought and people wanting space and not being in these big apartment complexes. If I had a lot of money and I was building, I'd be building more townhouses just to hedge on the fact of, you know, people who are saying, yeah, I don't want to live in a box with 200 other people in an apartment complex. I want more of a home feel. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you see, you know, the data shows that more and more people are moving to the suburbs as opposed to, you know, real dense urban areas. So, yeah. You know, there's an exodus from New York. A lot of people from New York went to Florida.
Yeah, San Francisco's rent prices dropped from 3,300 average to 2,300 during this pandemic, San Francisco. And they're just...
Yeah, and a lot of them went to Austin, Texas, right? I mean, there's a huge exodus there as well. And I think it's, you know, some people are itching to get back into restaurants and some people are, you know, wanting to be in the suburbs, but I think there's
they don't have to go to work anymore. And they're like, I only lived in San Francisco to work here. Now I just can do it over Zoom. I can just fly there once a month when I have a meeting.
Yeah. Work from home is, well, we'll see how that plays out. Right. Like some people want to work from home. And then I think some people are itching to get back in the office. Yeah. So the office sector is going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I mean, I think we're not going to see it for like another year to see really how consumers react to post COVID, but it's going to be interesting how it plays out. Cause I do think there'll be some very large changes. But here in 1980s, they really stopped building all multifamily. I tell people this, go try to find a 10-plex, a 12-plex, a 4-plex built in the 90s. There's none. They stopped building all multifamily. And when you stop for 30 years, and the zoning code hasn't been touched since 1992, what happens? There's not as much growth in that sector. And now we're playing catch-up for 30 years. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would fear is... that they're doing some of this, their numbers and the cap rates for some of these big apartment complex stuff, like $2,000 for the brand new swanky ones for a two bedroom. And I'm not sure that can sustain. And they're only building these out and getting cap rates of like 6-7%. And if you have to pull your rents down because there's all of a sudden a lot of competitors, that is myself why I wouldn't get into. And it's big boy money, it's big time investors. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to roll the dice a little bit more. I'm more along the lines of I want my two-bedroom rentals to be at 1,200, so I'm insulated, and if there's a ton of competitors that come on the market, they're not going to be able to compete with my low-end rent, you know?
Totally, totally. I think, you know, the lower the rent, honestly, the more likely it is that you're going to always have a tenant. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, and the big apartment complexes have, like, gyms. They got pools. It's maintenance. You know, my whole thing is you get a fourplex, and you take care of the road and the concrete and the furnace.
Couldn't agree more.
And
yeah.
That's it. You know?
Well, I do think, though, multifamily, like these big projects that, you know, cost $50, $100 million or whatever, these big projects actually have done pretty well throughout the pandemic and otherwise. Like vacancies are still fairly low. So I think it's safe. But I think, you know, the average person, you're exactly right. They're much safer going into a single family, you know, buying a single family investment or fourplex or whatever it is.
No, the one they're building downtown right off East Pike Speak there is $91 million project. I mean, that's
big boy money.
Yeah, that's about like, you know, $90 million and 500,000 more than what I'd feel comfortable investing.
I agree with that.
It's just a smidge more.
Yeah.
I mean,
just
we're not talking a big difference here. So anyway, we're talking to you, the radio listener, and we want you to succeed when it comes to real estate. And if you have any questions on commercial and you go, well, you know, no one even knows about, you know, local commercial stuff here. And it's not like he's like, well, all I do is the, you know, big boy corporate stuff. So if you're like, yeah, I've thought about commercial real estate and what does that look like and what are the returns, you know, feel free to reach out to him. You just give him a ring at 719-661-2992. That's 661-2992. This will be posted all over Spotify, Apple, iHeart, whatever, Tinder, Hinge, you know, all the platforms they got out there these days. So listen to the replays because it's important that you take notes and then you call us if you have questions on certain things because we're only scratching the surface. We're not diving in super deep. Isn't that right, Nolan?
That's exactly right. Yeah, there's plenty of information out there.
Yeah, that's it. And you got to know because sometimes – you know, commercial real estate might be your best return depending on a certain area you want to invest in, and maybe depending on your risk tolerance level. So you have to evaluate commercial compared to, you know, residential and where you want to be in that. Nolan's going to be your guy for sure. So anyway, that's it, folks. So Nolan, just go ahead and give your contact information one more time. Really appreciate you joining us. And then any final words of wisdom before we part on this beautiful Sunday?
Well, thanks for having me, Justin. In, contact number is 719-661-2992. And I think the Colorado Springs market is one of the best in the country, and it's going to grow. So it's a great time to invest in properties, residential and commercial.
All right, that's it. Another wrap here, Real Estate Realities, as we say at the end of every show. It's always fun talking real estate, mortgage, all this jazz. Most important thing is using the gifts God has given you and giving back to the community. Have a great day. Another show here, Real Estate Realities. You've been listening to Justin Hermes.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.